Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Daniel, we're starting in chapter 1. This is God's word. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Okay, there's a whole bunch of foreign names. I'm not sure who these people are. I'm not sure what's going on. I don't understand why we study these things. Well, I'm glad you asked. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that was the group that was identified as God's people. Okay? Daniel was a part of that group. Daniel was part of either the royalty or the nobility. Probably the nobility. They're not in line to be king, but they're among the leaders, the elite in the nation. Daniel was living in a place where God's people had forsaken God. They still had their temple there, a temple to God, a temple where God had promised that he would put his presence as long as the people obeyed him. But for years, God had been speaking through the prophet Jeremiah and others, warning that because the people continued in sin and would not repent, God was going to withdraw his hand and devastation would occur to the kingdom of Judah just as it had to the kingdom of Israel after the nation of Israel had broken into two. Israel continued in sin for years. And finally, God sent the Assyrians to destroy them and carry them off. And then God warned Judah, don't make the same mistake. But Judah, as the years went by, as generations went by, got worse and worse and worse. And God said through the prophets, your conduct is worse than that of Israel. They had the temple, but it was a security blanket. They weren't worshiping God. They just wanted to keep God in their pocket. It's sort of like true story of a fellow whom I won't name. He was Jewish. And he said sometimes when he was in a difficult situation, he prayed to Jesus just in case. Oh, what's that? It's like, I don't really know what's true and I don't really care what's true. I just want to win. I just want to win. There are a whole lot of people who do that. They'll go to church at Christmas and Easter because they believe that religion has an important place in society. They might even go to church every week, but it's not to worship God. It's to try and make God obligated to them. Trying to use God in order to keep us on the throne. That was what was going on in Judah. Daniel, growing up there as a teenager there, and he was a teenager, they estimate between 14 and 17. He's a teenager living in that environment, and he's got a lot going for him. Based on what we just read, he was a good-looking guy. Not only that, he was very intelligent. And a quick learner. He's got a lot going for him. Hooray! But he's living in a country that's going bad. He's living in a country where God's name is spoken, but often spoken in vain. Where the religious leaders are corrupt, and the religious leaders are telling the people, it's okay, God's on your side, you'll be fine, we've got the temple, nothing can go wrong. But a lot went wrong.
Folks, you may be listening to this broadcast from miles away from Ware's Valley, miles away from East Tennessee, and be shocked to learn that Ware's Valley Ranch is helping children from families all across the country, even where you are. That's right, where you are. We've helped children from California to New England states, all across the Southeast, up in the Midwest, all over the U.S. Now, I tell you this because there may be a child in a difficult situation in your community. And if you become aware of a situation, you're welcome to point them to us at wvr.org. It can be a tough conversation with a family member, so please call us if you would like guidance on how to approach them. It could mean the opportunity of a lifetime for a child in crisis. To reach our admissions office, you can call 865-429-0372.
to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Just as God had warned Nebuchadnezzar, a demon-worshipping foreigner came with his armies and besieged the city. That meant you couldn't get in or out. In order to keep the enemy out, you've got to stay in. And the problem with staying in is you can't grow crops in Jerusalem. And people were literally starving. It was a bad situation. And so Daniel, living in that environment, had heard what Jeremiah said. Everybody knew what Jeremiah said because Jeremiah was considered a traitor. He was saying, Nebuchadnezzar is not only going to win, he's going to win because God's going to make sure he wins. And the reason God's going to make sure he wins is because we have sinned. But now, as a teen, when that is fulfilled, the temple of God is raided and wrecked, and a bunch of stuff that had been devoted to God, this belongs to God, was now carried off and put in the temple of a demonic idol. What would that do to your theology? This is not somebody who doesn't believe God exists who's just done this to the place where your God was worshipped. This is somebody who says there's another God who is God and has a temple for him. And he got the treasure. Okay, but now Jeremiah said that that was going to happen, and it was going to happen because we didn't obey God. But now I'm living there. Now I'm in Babylon. He was carried off as a prisoner, one of many, grateful to be alive most days. But this is not easy. He's given a new name. His three friends are given new names. They had names that honored the God that the Jews worshiped. Now, they're given names that honor various demonic idols. Am I going to answer to that name? Am I going to start thinking of myself that way? That's what I'm being called. Got to learn a new language. These folks don't speak Hebrew. They want me to learn their language. What am I going to do? Well, the good news is, because I'm a brilliant, quick learner who happens to be good looking, and that was part of the deal, Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to be surrounded by ugly people. So Daniel's one of the select group. And they're going to feed him. All his food is provided. What's he going to eat? Same stuff as the king. It's the stuff from the king's table. Well, you can imagine some of the other prisoners are pretty happy about that, because not everybody got to eat that food. Not everybody in Babylon ate that food, and not everybody who was taken prisoner got to eat that food. But those who were chosen as part of this select, elite group of prisoners, like Daniel, they were going to get the best food, the food of a king, and the best wine, the wine from the king's table. Daniel said, I can't do that. You can call me what you want, and I'll learn your language. And I'll read your books, and I'll study your literature, and I'll learn all the stuff that you're trying to teach me. But God told us what we can and cannot eat. And I'm not going to risk some of the stuff you give me not being okay with God. Are we still under the Jewish dietary laws? Absolutely not. Well, who said we didn't have to be? Was it a pope? No, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. Read the New Testament. Jesus is the one who told his disciples and actually said it so that other people could hear too, that it isn't what goes into a man's mouth that makes him unclean. And thereby he declared all foods clean. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? By putting the Jewish people under a system of dietary laws, God not only protected their health from things like trichinosis, but God, and by the way, they could eat the lamb and the beef that they offered to God, but God said, trim off the fat. The fat is mine. You burn that up. Okay. Why would he say that? Because God designed our body. Are you saying fat is bad? Too much fat can be a problem. So God not only protected their health, he did something else. How many times a day do most of us eat? Three? Okay. And maybe some snacks. That meant that every Jew, every day, 3 to 5 times a day, if they ate like us, was reminded, I'm not my own. My body is not my own. I belong to God. God knows what I do. I need to please him. Not live for my pleasure, but for his. Because my body is not my own. Everything belongs to God. Every person on the planet, including all of us in this room, are going to answer to God. What are you doing with your body? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your money? What are you doing with your relationships? What are you doing with your talents? What are you doing with your opportunities? What are you doing? Gosh, Pastor Wood, you always make me feel guilty. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to wake you up and cause you to realize you have an opportunity. Daniel said, I can't eat that food. Why not? Well, because God tells us what we can eat and what we can't eat. And I belong to God. My life is his. Now, the guy who he presents this to says, Daniel, I really like you, buddy. I think very highly of you. I think you're one of the most promising people in this group of prisoners that we've taken. But here's the thing, man. If you look bad, I pay for it. And I'm afraid if I do what you want, I'm going to get in trouble. And one thing you need to know about this king, he kills people. Casually. Okay? So if I upset him, he won't just say, shame on you. He'll say, kill him. I don't want to die, man, so that you can avoid eating food that you think is not kosher. Literally. So Daniel says, let's have a test. For 10 days, I want you to give us only vegetables. 10 days. And then at the end of the 10 days, take a look and see how we're doing. If we start to look haggard and pale and pitiful, then we'll see where we go from there. I'm not trying to get you in trouble, but I don't want to risk eating something that would displease my God. And I'm willing to put my life on the line in order to do what God says. All right, 10 days. You got 10 days. What they found in 10 days is that a vegetarian diet automatically makes you healthier. That's the takeaway of this morning's lesson. Is that right? Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. It says, verse 9. God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. It says, verse 17, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. What is the best health decision you can make? Vegetarianism? For some people. Not me, thankfully. But what is the best health decision you can make? Obey God! That's what Daniel did, and God gave favor. God caused him to be better looking, and his friends, better looking at the end of the 10 days than all the other folks. You could visibly tell the difference. Let me just tell you something. This isn't about being good looking. This is about choosing to obey God, even when you are in a difficult situation where people are essentially demon worshipers and they have been put in charge of you, and you are being pressured to be like them. Now, I know none of you have ever been in a situation where the people around you were not friendly toward the things of God. You've never had to deal with that. None of you here have ever faced that, have you? Oh, well, perhaps you have. I guarantee you, you will find yourself in that situation if you haven't already. You will find that there are people who are upset if you don't join in and do what they do. If you don't eat what they eat and drink what they drink, if you don't go where they go and say what they say and laugh at their jokes, if you say, no, I'm not going to watch that. No, I'm not going to listen to that. I'll see you guys later. They're not going to say, oh, okay, well, have fun. They'll come after you with claws and teeth. They will hate you. It's like, well, I don't want these people to hate me. Do you realize how short this life is? We're all going to answer to God. What God says is what matters. It's not what our friends or our family think. Jesus was crucified. And he said, but don't worry. It's going to be easy for you. No. He says, take up your cross and follow me. That's the only kind of disciple that there is. I look forward to going through this book with you. If you want a short version of the first lesson, if in doubt, don't. If you're not sure whether it's okay to do this, I'm not sure if God's approving of this or not, well, then don't do it. Well, but I'd like to do it. I'd really like to do it, and these people are urging me to do it, and it may be okay. I'm not sure. Not sure? Don't. Daniel wasn't saying all the food from the king's table is bad. He was saying some of the food from the king's table is going to be bad, and I can't always tell what's what, so I'm just going to avoid anything that's not a vegetable. And that worked, and God blessed it. And he came out healthier than all the ones who ate the food from the king's table. If in doubt, don't. Daniel said, I'm only going to eat vegetables because some of that stuff might be bad. Folks, if we took that approach to entertainment, I'm not sure if this movie's okay or not. Is there a reason why you have to watch that movie? Well, I really like the earlier ones in the series. Yeah, but why are you getting a check in your spirit about this one? Maybe it's because the Holy Spirit is saying, that's not good. If in doubt, don't. It's simple. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. And God will bless you for wanting to please him more than you want to please yourself or the people around you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.